thank the Lord that He let us come down again. Thinking about how wonderfully God made us, and thinking particularly about our eyesight, it's a blessing to be able to see. And they got these little aids that when you start getting older, that it helps. And I've been getting, my eyes have been changing regularly. And so I think about it quite a bit. I've got glasses that I can read with. These are about 3s or 325s. And I have a set of, I've got a set of 175s. So that I can see about this back there if I need to do that. And I got a set of about 125s. I can drive real well with them. And I can see the dash. If I wear these, I can see everything in front of me real well, but it just can't see anything out in the road. So I can't use these to drive with. And so I can drive okay without, I can drive fairly well without any glasses on. But I can't see anything on the dash when I drive. Or very close out there, but I do pretty good on the road. And so my eyes is changing until sometimes I can see fairly well out. I can read the clock, but I can't see the numbers from here, basically. And so my eyes are changing. And it's interesting, though, to me how God made our eyes to focus at different points. You can just look and see quickly, and you can see when your eyes are good, and your eyes will focus to that. But if you're focused on that, everything else is blurry around it. When you take a pair of binoculars, for instance, and you look through the binoculars, and you see an object up close, and you look at it, and you focus the knobs in, and when you see it real clear, if you look out very far, you don't see clearly. And if you start looking out and you focus it in, so you can see out far, and you look back close, you can't see it clearly. My message tonight is, I feel like the Lord dropped in my heart, is we need to keep our focus. And to keep your focus, you need to keep looking at the object you're looking at. Because if you start looking at other things, at different distances or different importances, has different values, then your focus becomes blurry about what truly is right. Lord help us, but if we get sidetracked with things, or we get sidetracked with what we're looking at or what's important about things, it's a very, very easy thing to do. And if when you do that, you become blurred. It becomes very blurry about what's out there. And what we should be focusing on isn't this world. But it's hard not to, because so much of it happens of our life in this world. But if we focus on this world, then we're not seeing clearly out there. We'll get sidetracked with that. And sometimes I think that's as far as we go to what we're looking at. But when our focus is really on eternity, to focus on, it may be distant, but to keep my focus out there, because really that's what matters. It's truly what matters, but it doesn't always seem like it matters, and it costs something sometimes for that, to get through that. It's like sometimes looking at a distant place you want to go. I want to go there. I keep my eyes on that, because if I lose that, the focus on that, I'm not going to be able to go there. I'm not going to be able to make it there. And sometimes going there, though, it means some rough ground sometimes. Sometimes it means crossing things that looks impassable impossible. I can't get over that. But that's where I'm going. But now I'm facing a canyon. But that's where I want to go. But it looks like I'm going to have to deal with this. And that becomes a problem. I got to deal with this thing, but I need to go there. But you know, if you just start focusing on the canyon, you're never going to make it over there. All I'm going to do is wallow around in the canyon. I get my focus on this and that's all I'm going to think about and do and all that, but that's, the canyon is not where I want to go. That's an obstacle to what I really want, where I really want to go. So instead of focusing on the moment, the Lord wants us to focus on Him. Focus on the eternal. But that's what really matters. Do you know the Lord has took the responsibility on Himself to get the faithful through the canyon? If God's made promises that if we follow Him, He'll take us through the canyons. He'll take us through the impossibles and the impassables and the things that we can't do. But we're to focus on Him. Keep our eyesight in the right place. Lord, I'm focusing on You. That's where I'm going. I want to look at a scripture starting in Revelation. I just want the second or the last part of the 10th verse. After, you can read it, there's a lot that goes on there. But after all these sayings, the last statement of this verse is, "Be thou faithful unto death." That's your part. Keep your eyes on Me. Keep your eyes on the eternal. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. That's what He's saying to us to do. In life, yeah, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be problems, the devil's going to come, there's going to be things in life, there's going to be sicknesses and diseases, and there's going to be a lot of things to sidetrack your heart and mind. There's going to be things in the world, there's going to be all of these things. Be thou faithful. That's your responsibility. You, be thou faithful. No matter what comes up, I'm all of a sudden, I'm up to a canyon and now I can't do it and whoa, and no, be thou faithful. That's what our job is to be. Keep our faith in God. Say that, and there'll be times you may come out and say, I've been there many times. Lord, I'd do what I need to do. If I knew what I needed to do, I'd do it. I don't have a clue what I should be doing, but Lord, I have faith in You. I have faith in You, and You're the God that can remove mountains. You're the God that can make a way when there is no way. You're the God that can change the circumstances. You told me to be faithful. I want to be faithful. You be faithful. Be faithful unto death. That's looking beyond the moment. The circumstance, the situation. That's looking to put my goal is that one of these days I'm going to have to lay this body down, and my goal is to be, when I lay it down, to be faithful. Fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, isn't it that Paul says, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's my goal. My goal is to come down to my parting time and be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. There's very little left now for me, but my goal has been realized. I fought with beasts at Ephesus. I've been shipwrecked. I've been whipped. I've run through, I've been imprisoned. All of these things, and I kept the faith. I never looked at the moment. I never focused on the moment. I never tried to butt up against the moment. I kept my focus on being faithful.
I've kept my eyes and my intention on the time that I'm going to lay this body down. And I've been faithful. And it says there in this passage, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now I got my focus on a crown of life. You remember the rich young ruler that comes to the Lord. I think he come in sincerity. Seems like the passage reads that way. He comes in sincerity and says, good master, what must I do to inherit that distant, long, focusing eternal life? Got my mind there now, Lord. What must I do to inherit that, to get it, to possess it? Without all the kudu, the Lord says, the passage says that, and the Lord loved him. And he answered because he loved him. And listen, Lord loves everybody, but that was an expression that meant he was going to tell him. He loved him that because he did, that's why it came out. He loved him and he told him, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And take up your cross and follow me. Do you know that this young man's moment overtook his focus? The moment. He faced something too big for him in the moment. It was too much to ask in the moment. But folks, listen, if we was to be able to see the whole picture clearly and see it in the relative term of time, how long do you suppose this man has been gone from this earth? Relativity does matter here a little bit. See, the scripture teaches us to take no thought for the tomorrow. We shouldn't take an anxious or worrisome thought about tomorrow because God's claimed tomorrow. Our faith should say, why should I worry? The Bible teaches us not to worry. We shouldn't worry if I have faith because God, why would you worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to put on if God has taken that into His responsibility to you? So He gives us the idea that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow, but He definitely didn't say that we shouldn't plan for the future. We would never plant a garden if we did that. Would we, if we said, I'll only live for today and I'll never worry about the processes of time? That would be somewhat foolish. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, who prepares his food in the summer. Of course he takes care of that because winter's coming. There wasn't any condemnation on thinking about tomorrow. It was only worrying about it. We definitely think about that. We put a focus on the fact that there's something in my future. Isn't there? There's something in my future. It's called eternity. It's in our future. All of our futures are wrapped up in this one big word, eternity. We're all headed for eternity. So be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I'll give you something to look for, a goal. I got a goal. If I live faithful on this earth, all my sorrows, woes, difficulties, everything is going to be completely gone away in eternity. And the Lord is going to give me a crown of life. Life. What's it talking about? Eternal life, never ending, always. We're going to be able to put it on and have life. And so it makes sense to me that the focus of our life oughtn't be focusing on the moment. Yeah, maybe. Maybe Paul could say. Maybe Paul could have said. That shipwreck stuff's too much. Only if you focus on the moment would a shipwreck be too much. There's things that's too hard to go through in this life if you don't look for that. If your focus becomes on that, it will be too much. That's too much pain to bear. That's too much anguish to suffer. That's too much, it's too long to go through. When I look at the moment, I'm going to have to do that. But when I focus on the crown of life, Paul said, what did he say about this present suffering? Well, one place he said something about this, it ain't much. Don't add up to much in comparison to the great eternal, which is just for a moment. This light affliction, light stuff. Come on, Paul, what are you talking about? 39 stripes? What are you talking about? Being shipwrecked? What are you talking about? Light afflictions. Where'd you get that light affliction from? I'm hurting. I'm looking over there, that's why. I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on what I gain in the long run. If we're faithful unto death, He will give us a crown of life. I think it can be such a detriment to us to allow circumstance to pull our focus away from what our goal should be. Our goal should be dying in faith. No matter what happens, no matter what I go through, I want to be faithful. You won't perform, and if you do, I'll apologize before I even say it. But I would be willing to say that you won't perform perfectly in this life. I would say that somewhere along the line, you're going to say something that you shouldn't have said. Or you're going to hold an attitude that you probably shouldn't have held. Or you'll have a mistake somewhere in your life that you shouldn't have done. If you focus on that thing, it'll bring you down. That's not the focus. Don't make it the focus. When it happens, say, Lord, have mercy on us. Help us. Say what you got to say. Ask the forgiveness you got to do. Beg for it. Humble yourself for it. And keep your focus. I mean to go to heaven, and I'm not going to let this stop me from going. Lord, help us with these things. Now, there's another scripture I want to look at. Over in John, 6th chapter of John. You know the scripture. Some of the folks said it's Jesus taught these things in Capernaum. Many of, therefore, of his disciples heard it and said it's a hard saying. Jesus had said to them, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, eat my flesh and drink of my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father, so 57, has sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And these people got, some of these disciples that had been following him, got offended at the Lord. Let's say something right off. No matter what you think about the circumstances you got into, the Lord knows about it. If you want to go far enough into the theology of God, He'll even take responsibility for it. There is nothing that happens that God doesn't give power for. You have to accept the whole thing as God. So God is all encompassing. And so, this is God. So when things happened into my life, I have to say that. What do we know about Him? Our faith says that God loves me supremely. I hold that as a very serious part of my faith. I have to believe that. That God loves me entirely. I bank on it. I'm telling you, I bank on it. In my mistakes, in my failures, in my ups, downs, anything, I bank on this. God loves me. And it anchors me to this thing because God loves me. You might not love me. You might not care for me. You might think I'm silly or stupid or ugly or whatever, but God loves me. Amen. I mean, that is paramount to me. God loves me. We know that. God loves me. And so, whatever happens in my life, God is not trying to destroy me. He isn't treating me bad. He isn't doing me bad. He's doing me right. Altogether, my faith has to say, God is doing me right in everything that happens in my life. Does it feel like it? No. It doesn't feel like it. Sometimes hurt. Sometimes I wonder what he's doing. Bottom line of it is this is what I have to believe. God's right no matter what I know or what I feel. Linda and I was talking recently and she made a comment about a situation and said, a sincere question. How do you answer that God would do that? It doesn't seem like that's something that we can say that, why would that happen? And my explanation was like this, and I use this at home, but I want you to think about this. 2 plus 2 plus an unknown number equals what? Somebody give me the answer. We know in part. It makes total sense to God what you don't know. When I look at any circumstance, some of them are hard to understand why God would let that happen to faithful people. But I'll have to come up with the conclusions of everything I say. You give me 2 plus 2 is 4 plus 2 is 6. I can answer that. But when you start saying that there's possibilities of things I don't know, I could be way off the answer. And so I admit something here. I don't know everything. And I don't know what the unknowns are. And so when God does something, and I'm sitting scratching my head saying, why would God do that? It's because he knows all the equation. And I don't know the equation. I don't know what it's going to take to save your soul. God knows what it's going to take to save you. God knows what's going to move you out of lethargy and a rut and knows what's going to move you away from things that you're... God knows what that is. If it's possible, God knows what to do with it. I look at you and say, well, why would that happen to such a faithful person? That's why it happens to such a faithful person. Come on, God's being faithful to us. He's being faithful to us. What's our focus to be? If you'll be thou faithful unto death. You'll go through the trials and you'll go through the tribulations. Be faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. So my focus then, if I lose the idea and I start focusing, I'll tell you something about myself. Maybe some of you can relate to this, maybe you can't. Sometimes I think I'm just way too mental about things. If I go to the dentist office with my children, my teeth start hurting. I'm telling you. If somebody starts talking about having joint pain, and I start thinking about it a little bit, my joints are hurting. I just don't focus on it. As soon as you pull my focus to it, all of a sudden I start feeling, now don't let it get me, but I'm going to tell you what, it seems real to me. My toes hurting. You start focusing on your problems, and the devil will make sure he'll make a big mountain out of that thing. He'll sidetrack you, get you off on some. You can start looking at it and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. Some of them are big anyway. Hey, I'm not shortchanging this thing. Some real things happen to real people.
That's right.
But it's still not supposed to be our focus. We keep our eyes, our focus on the things. I'm going to tell you, this is just true in human nature and probably everybody here knows it. Somebody can get down or really feeling bad and if you can take their focus off of their problem, half their pain will go away. And one of the worst things doing when you get in a situation, you have to sit and think about what's going on. You have to sit and think about, I'm hurting. The more you think about it, the worse hurt you get. You get your focus right down on that pain. Oh! You focus on it? Don't focus on that. Focus on that distant object. And you know what it'll do? It'll blur the close ones. It'll blur them out. I got it right there. I got it right there. Many of his disciples focused on the moment. They said some things that they didn't have all the information for. The Lord actually said something's beautiful if you want to follow that out. He was bringing the opportunity for us to partake of his salvation. Isn't that beautiful? These disciples got offended by it because they didn't have all the information and it was they couldn't understand. It's too hard to understand. They got offended. Well, anyway, it goes on. It said in the 66th verse of this, it said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What would it take? This is a sincere question because it happens all the time. There's a lot of people that walks no more with him that walked with him when I first started walking with him. So this is sincere. What does it take to make you not walk anymore with him? This is what it took for them, but what would it take for you to walk no more with him? You say, well, I never would, but I'll tell you this. Get your focus off and you will. Get your focus off. There was some here that still, for what they was worth, listen to this. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Well, they left. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. It don't matter. Jesus comes and says, okay, Peter, going for eternal life? Going to be some hard things. Okay, going to be some hard things. I'm going for eternal life. You know what I'm saying? Got my focus. You know when Peter messed up with the Lord is when he started living in the moment again? When he started focusing on what's going on right now? Be thou faithful, Peter. I don't know him. Peter, be faithful unto death. I never talked to him. I don't know what you're talking about. Peter, get your eye back on where it's supposed to be. Get your vision back. You're looking to the Lord. Everything else is going to blur and you can say easily, yeah, I'm one of them. And I'm glad that I'm one of them. I'm one of them and I mean to be one of them. I'm one of them and no matter, you can't do something to make me not one of them. Oh, fear him. Don't fear him that's able to kill the body, but fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul. In hell, keep your focus on the one that's able, thou art the Lord, thou hast eternal life. Keep the focus over there. Folks, every one of us is going to leave this world. Now we can say, well, I got time or this or that. Every one of us is going to leave this world. Be thou faithful unto death. Get a focus on it and I will give you eternal life. Thank the Lord. Scripture in Mark. Oh, let's see, 13 chapter of Mark. Mark 13. Oh, I want to read a little bit of this, I guess. 11th verse. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatso
Whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now, the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And the children shall rise up against their parents, shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men. You won't be hated? No. I won't be hated. I won't be liked. I want everybody to like me a lot. I want to be special to everybody. I wish I could be special to everybody. I wish everybody would just come by and smile at me and put their hand on them and said, good old brother Marty. I wish everybody would do it. But they don't do it. And to go very far with doing it, I don't want you to have to do to make people do that. You couldn't get them all to do it, but you'd give up a lot if you could. But the Bible says you'd be hated of all men. That puts a different thing on it. You mean if I serve the Lord, I might not be liked? Or people might think I'm strange, or I mean they're going to look at me, I'm going to be an outcast or funny looking. I mean, I'm going to have to do that. Yeah. You may very well have to do that. And if that's the focus of your life, is to be pleasing to men, you're going to be awful blurred for the eternal. Because it don't match. So the Lord says, you may hate it of all men for my name's sake, but he that endure, listen, he that endure to the end. You know where our focus ought to be? Being found faithful at the end of my life. Because he that endure to the end. You know what's a sad account to me? A sad account to me is someone that lived the years of their life for God. That ain't what this says. That if it says if you endure to the end. Do you believe tonight that you could lose your salvation in the last year of your life? What a tragedy, Brother Ed. What a tragedy for someone to get their focus off in their old age. And lose the focus of what's really important and get stuck in the moment somewhere with a bitterness in their heart and get wrapped up in unforgiveness and bitterness and go out into eternity. He said, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. This says endure. Those that endure. All this stuff you'll be hating. The brothers riding against brother. And things are going to happen in life. And you're going to go through all kind of tribulations. And problems and difficulties. And you're going to have to face the mountains. And the steep cliffs. And the canyons. And you're going to have to go through all those hard things. But he that endureth to the end. To go all that way and quit. To give up. Not to go on. The Lord never made a moment that he can't win. God wins the moments, folks. Sometimes they look unwinnable. Sometimes the heartache and sorrow is too much. I've told this many times, but it's an experience that I have of God, so I like to tell it. In one of the hardest, if not the hardest moments of my life, when I looked up, literally looked upward and said, I have come to my end, Lord. I'm to the end of my rope. If you don't help me, I'm going to be destroyed. I can't take any more. And you know what God did? He opened up the windows and he poured a supernatural pouring on me. When I felt like my fingertips was right on the end of the rope, and I'm not talking both hands. I'm talking dangling. I'm about to drop. And I, in my despair, told the Lord, I'm done. I wasn't giving up on the Lord, folks. I had no more mental strength. I had nothing left but to cry a desperate cry to the Lord. But the Lord's promised to take you through the canyons. Yeah.
The God that loves us isn't going to leave us in our despair, is He? I'm going to tell you, there was something that poured out over me at that moment. Never changed the circumstance that had brought me. The moment that had brought me there did not change. But the strength of my inner being changed. And I knew at that moment, I can go through this. I will make it through this now. Because I got a strength inside me that's God. It's God. And when we look and we get to those times and those hard places, it's time to look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. Look, get your focus on the right point and allow God to be God. Because this says that he that endure what? Just a moment? No. Unto the end. When we get to that last moment and we're able to say, I fought a good fight. Oh, I finished the course. No, it wasn't easy. I claimed it was easy. But I fought a good fight. Well, what a thing to say. I used to imagine my tombstone being, he fought a good fight. Fought a good fight. Well, I don't want it on there if it ain't. But I mean, I want to fight a good fight. He fought a good fight. He finished the course. Kept the faith. Oh, I'm going to tell you folks, that's a testimony. Kept the faith. The devil tried to send people my way to make me angry enough to lose my salvation. But I can say at the end of it, I kept the faith. He tried to bring things that would come that would discourage me beyond measure. Tried to bring things to come to lose my confidence in God. That He ain't what He says He is. I've kept the faith. I've kept what God gave me, and now at the end, I can lay it down. And Lord, all of those things that come to discourage me, you know, Apostle Paul preached and people got saved and come to the God, through the gospel, came to God. And then there was false prophets that came in and kind of swiped them away. There was false prophets that come in and started preaching false things to them, and they started being beguiled by it. That could stir you up, couldn't it? That could make you be lost in the moment, couldn't it? But he said at the end of it, I kept the faith. I went through all of that stuff, and I still believe God is God. Do you still believe that God loves you even though you've went through? Do you still believe God? I'm going to tell you, God loves you. God still loves you. He that endureth to the end, the same. The end. The same shall be saved. That's the goal. It's not just to win the moment or get over something. It's to go all the way. It's such a sad testimony. Remember the look in Brother Salmon's eyes when he looked almost a glazing look across the valley up there and said to me, it would be a shame. It startled me. He said it would be a shame that after all of this, and you can surmise as much as I did what all this is, but I think it meant all the preaching, all the prayers that was answered, all the living for God. But he said it'd be a shame that after all of this, if I lose my soul. Endure to the end. Something was troubling, but he looked across there and said, I lose my soul. He that endureth to the end, to keep our focus, I'm going to heaven. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to keep my focus where I should be focused at. Let God be God, and He'll take care of our battles and those things, but for us to keep our focus on serving the Lord. And we'll look at another scripture. Oh, over in James. There's something out there. You remember the story of the little red hen? Anybody ever hear that story? You know this little book? I remember when I was young, this story about this little red hen. Y'all remember it? I probably ain't going to get this just right, but it was something like this. This is this little red hen. And she says, "Who's going to help me plant the corn?" "Not I," said the cat. "Oh, not I," said the dog. "Not I," said the pig. "Not I," said the cow. So she goes, plants the corn. "Well, who's going to help me out of the corn and weed the corn?" "Not I," said the cat. "Not I," said the dog. "Pig wouldn't, cow wouldn't, not I." Comes time to pick the corn. "Who's going to help me pick the corn?" "Not I," said the cat, dog. "Who's going to help me grind the corn?" "Not I." "Not I." "Who's going to help me make the bread?" "Not I," said the cat, or dog, pig, cow. And then comes the bread. There was no invitation to eat. Maybe there was. Who's going to do this? The little red hen has a focus, if you'll let me use such an analogy. But the little red hen has a focus. It's bread. No, it wasn't planting. You got it wrong. The focus wasn't planting. It wasn't weeding. It wasn't grinding. Focus was the bread. You don't get the bread if you're not focused on the bread. It takes something to go through it and do what you have to do. We do what we do because we got to focus on where we're going. Why do we do what we do? You don't think it's important that I say living for the Lord is a careful life, don't you? I think when you get focused on that, it means that you got a great focus on your life because you're focused on that. I got to be what that is. I got to go where that's at. We don't just preach about modesty because it makes us feel good or powerful or anything else. We do it because we have a focus. It's not about anything else. We do what we do because of the Word of God and a focus that we have. We should do what we do because we love the Lord. We got to focus on going to heaven. That's what we want to do. And we don't have to be beat into it. All we have to do is you lay the suggestion to me and I'll consider it because I got to focus. I want to know. I want to know what I got to do to get over there. Lord, help us. You don't eat bread unless you plant and grind and bake. But the focus is the bread, not none of the other things. It's not the moment. It's where we're going with the moment. Lord, help all of our moments to make us strong. Help all of our moments to get something out of it at the end. But if I get sidetracked just on the moment, I think I lose the focus of what it's really all about. Over in James, fifth chapter, James. The 10th verse says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. And above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by an oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." You've heard of the patience of Job. Job is a favorite character of mine in the Bible. One of the most challenging things I've ever had in my life is that Job went through what he did, and it said that he didn't charge God foolishly. Do you know how easy it is to think a foolish thought in times of trouble? Do you know how easy it is to charge, if you want to say it that way, charge God? You know, it said Job did not charge God foolishly. And Job comes into a time, and it was testified of him, "Have you considered my servant Job? Well, now, there must have been something quite dynamic about Job, don't you think? Must have been something special about him that the Lord would testify for him. He's considered Job. I know how he's going to respond. He's a true person. He's true. He's honest. He's upright. You consider him? Well, he got a hedge around him. You know the story of Job. So Job's going along and all of a sudden he runs into his moments. Here's his moments. Things are important to him. I mean, I have a home that we live into. It would be a major thing in my life if I get a call tonight and he says, I'm sorry to tell you this, your house burnt down. Well, now you can say you're being too materialistic, but I'm going to tell you right now, that would not be pleasant to me. Got a lot of things there. We got things that we share together there. There's just a lot of things. It isn't just it just would be, it's our home. And I can't help it from being as emotional. I'm not an overly emotional person, but that's emotion, would be emotional. I have emotions, so obviously I'd be touched by a disaster like that. Job loses the critters that he have. I mean, I remember coming to a camp meeting one time. I had these chickens. I got these chickens. And I like chickens, and I always wanted chickens. I had these chickens. Had 10 chickens. And I got these hens, and I started feeding them until they would actually come up. I'd sit out in the yard sometime, put corn like this in my hands. These chickens would come up and eat the corn out of my hands. Well, I didn't sit around and pet my chickens and sit with them in my lap, nothing like that, but I liked the chickens. And I come home from camp meeting one time and went to go feed my chickens, and the neighbor's dog had went in there doing what dogs like to do. And the dog liked to kill chickens, so I went there. And when I seen my chickens and the feathers and the gore and all that laying around there, it was not pleasant. I wasn't happy. I actually said, oh, Lord, no. Somehow I'd got an attachment that I didn't know I had, and it touched my heart. It touched me. I don't know that Job sat around petting or feeding these camels out of his hands or his ox or anything, but he lost everything, all of them. It must have touched him some way, don't you think? You heard of the patience of Job? I'm going to tell you, Job must have been focused on something. Because that wasn't the worst thing to happen to Job. Before that one, they come and told him that, quit speaking. Somebody comes and says, I'm sorry to tell you this, all your family, all your children, they all got together and it was at one of your son's place and they was kind of having a party and doing the things, you know, like that. And the roof falls in or whatever the case was, but they're all dead. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That makes what happened before meaningless. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. You know what? We need to keep our focus. I don't know what might befall me in this life. I just don't know. But I know the Lord said that He loved me enough. I will keep this thing to the end. I can have a crown of life. Wow. Job had something. Because in the middle of it, when all of his friends encouraged him otherwise, I think his wife encouraged him otherwise, he said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. Can God bless and not take it away? Can He do good and not evil? Oh, I'm going to tell you, his focus was on God, wasn't it? He must have knew God. He had a focus on Him. And he said, I come into dust, I can come, and dust I'm going to return. God gives, and God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, what a thing to say. Oh, Job! It got my focus. I aim to be faithful to God. When the trials of life come, and they'll come, oh, think it not strange, the fiery trials, which is but to try you, to see what you're made of. Are you metal? Are you got your focus in the right place? So someone says something. You know, I learned a long time ago The people don't even mean what they say most of the time. People can say things and not even think about it, mean it, and we can get hurt about things that they don't even know what they're talking about and saying that. I've had people that acted that way about me, and in a little while of living faithful around them, they call me for prayer. I don't know why I was all been out of shape about it. But for one thing, they're the ones that's wrong, not me. Living for God is right. Getting a focus on the Lord and the promises that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. That everything that comes in life to be able to let loose of is one of our hardest. To let loose of the thing that pulls me down. To let loose of that thing and get my focus on that and keep it on that. You'd be amazed what God will do in your life. Lord, I'm living for You. I'm going on for You. I got my focus on You. And this stuff's trying to pull me. And as soon as I look away, and of course we all know the very familiar passage of Scripture, where the disciples are on a ship and the seas are tumultuous, and they see what they think is a spirit. But Jesus says, fear not. It's I. And Peter says, Lord, if it be You, bid me come to Thee. And the Lord said, come. And Peter gets out on the water with a focus. You know what? What was he looking at? Jesus. Focus. Jesus. Got Jesus. And the Scripture says, but when he looked around, what could he not see clearly when he looked at the waves? Jesus. The strength of his abilities to walk on his problems, to be bigger than they are, was all in his connection. And he lost his connection and it would become blurry. And what become real? What become real? The storm. The sea become real. It become dangerous. It become too much. Because he focused and his teeth would hurt. Like mine. He began and it got worse until his faith wasn't there. He didn't have, and he sunk to the point of perishing. But oh, thank God there was a hand reached down. Peter, why for did he doubt? Why did you doubt? Peter, you lost your focus. It'll happen to us when the circumstances become so big. And we start looking at those circumstances instead of the mighty God. The God that can take us through any kind of a situation. When we see that, when we got our focus on that one, folks, the Lord can do anything. Our part is not to calm the seas. It isn't our part. Our part isn't whip everybody in shape. Our part is to be faithful unto death. Our part is to be faithful when we come up to the impassable. When I face the impossibles. My duty is to have faith in my God. And watch God do the rest. You know the story. Moses stands up there and they're cornered in. There's no place to go. But isn't there a place to go? It's not our part to split the Red Seas. It's our part to be faithful and watch God do split the Red Seas. It's not our responsibility to cause the sun to stop in its the earth and the sun's stop in its orbit. It's not our duties to do the overwhelm. It's our duty to be faithful. To keep our focus on what we're supposed to do. And our focus is to be lined up with the Lord. Faithful. Got my eyesight focused in on that. If I try to look back there, I can guarantee you when I'm looking back there, you guys are very blurry. You're very blurry if I don't focus back there right now. But I mean, that's the way it would be. God, if we focus on the Lord, this other stuff becomes less and less. less and less. I'm not belittling your problems and my problems. I'm just simply saying, focus on the Lord and there'll be a victory in it. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.